Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of American Exposé. I'm Darren Weeks, your host for the next 2 hours on this, August 23rd, 2004 edition of the broadcast. And tonight we have some good information we're going to be sharing with you. We also have a guest that's going to be joining us here in just a moment, Stephen Jacobson. Stephen is the head of Mind Control in America. Media mind control, there's a lot of manipulation going on today in the media, as there has been for many years, with the advent of television introduced into the American psyche, what was it, around the 1950s or something like that. You know, this plan for world domination has been able to proceed rather rapidly because the American people are being conditioned to believe certain thought patterns, which enable them to be very easily manipulated. And you couple that with what's going on in the public schools right now, as well as the private schools as well, because I remember, and I may have mentioned this before on this broadcast, back in the 1980s, I was working with a group of people who were fighting the Michigan model for comprehensive school health education here in the state of Michigan. And there's a lot of conditioning of children that was going on that was a part of the Michigan model as well. And this was supposed to be, just like the name implies, a model for the entire nation. And they were testing it out here. And so we're seeing this manipulation going on all over the place. And it's very important to be aware that we're being propagandized. Because if you're not aware of it, you can't possibly, well, to coin a rather overused phrase in the business world, think outside the box. You hear a lot about people thinking outside the box. It's important to think outside the box, they tell you in those corporate meetings. And, well, it's true. But it's true to the extent that you have to realize that the box are the parameters that the global elite, the New World Order crowd, want you to think inside. They set up their own arguments. And they control every argument. And all of this is called the Hegelian dialectic. And they want you to stay inside their dialectic. And I don't know if we have Stephen Jacobson on the line right now. Stephen, are you there?
Yes, I am, Darren.
Okay. Folks, Stephen has been working on this project, the mind control project. He's been doing research for a number of years. His website, by the way, is www.mindcontrolinamerica.com. That's mindcontrolinamerica.com, his newly relaunched website. And he says on here, in the book 1984, George Orwell warned that the people were in danger of losing their freedom of mind without being aware of it, while it was happening because of psychological, emotional, and intellectual manipulation, mind control. Stephen says, all the problems in America are the result of people being led to believe things that are not true. Stephen has produced two documentary audio cassettes, Mind Control in America and Wake Up America, which deals with the American fraudulent financial system. I've heard them both. They're excellent, and you can order them, I believe, on his website. If you can't do it now, you can do it soon. I'm not sure if it's been set up yet. Again, his website is mindcontrolinamerica.com. Stephen, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be with you.
You know, there's so much of this going on today, and this is such a very relevant topic because we saw the case being built for war in Iraq, this whole September 11th thing, which was orchestrated by the U.S. government. The reams and reams of evidence that that is true is just insurmountable. But they needed another Pearl Harbor to pull off this worldwide war, and basically it's a worldwide war on freedom, not terrorism. But as I was preparing for this show tonight, I sat down to try to think of all the little definitions, the words that are being changed today, you know, and I came up with peace. You know, they throw that one around a lot, and peace obviously to them means a complete lack of opposition to their plan for global domination. But we also see freedom, the definition of freedom, that they're promoting freedom around the world, democracy. Mikhail Gorbachev said democracy is socialism. Patriotism, we have the USA Patriot Act. All of these things help to serve a purpose, doesn't it?
Oh, it certainly does, and it is not a new problem. The principles behind mental programming are ancient principles. Mankind has been suffering from manipulation throughout our recorded history. This is how rulers have been able to keep the population under control. Rulers who have worked in concert with religious leaders. Is very often in the ancient world, religious leaders and the civil authorities were very often the same. And they were using these principles even then. Some of the earliest references to the use of hypnosis and mind control technology appear in ancient Egyptian writings. What is different about so-called modern times is the technology that allows the implementation of these principles on a massive scale to influence the thinking and behavior of large numbers of people, and not only within the confines of national borders, but to manipulate people on a global scale.
Right. Yeah, I think about the pictures that came out of Iraq not too long ago, you know, with the Abu Ghraib prison thing where they were showing our troops allegedly abusing these prisoners over there, and I don't know, you know, maybe that's really going on. It probably is, but the purpose that has been served by this is, it seems to me like they're creating animosity around the world against the United States, you know, and
yes, they're isolating us,
right, stacking the deck, if you will.
Yes.
And with the September 11th thing, all of that imagery was broadcast live around the world and, of course, repeated over and over and over again. And I remember Jackie Petru talking about how her daughter called her. I think it was her daughter. And she said that her daughter said, "We'll never be the same." You know, and this is something that she had heard, evidently, in the media over and over again. And the idea stuck. You know, we tend to parrot these things that we hear over and over again. And I remember one other thing about the September 11th that really is prominent to me is the fact that as they were showing all of this heartache in New York City, all of these people weeping and crying and watching in horror as people jumped from that building to their deaths because they had no other alternative. They couldn't stand to stay up there in the smoke and fire any longer. Then immediately they cut over to some Middle Eastern crowd that was celebrating in jubilation. And I remember reading later on that actually the film that they had shown there on the media wasn't even related to the September 11th thing. It was, according to this source, it was file footage.
And that has been used frequently over the years to indoctrinate the population with a particular mindset. The news, so-called news, cannot be considered that. It's not news. It's become entertainment. Those who control the images in your mind are the true rulers of society. The ultimate control is to control control people without their conscious awareness. And using the media is the ideal means of creating a mental program in the mass mind that can be manipulated at the whim and will of those who are controlling the media. Now, this is nothing new. Going back to before our technology of television and radio and the phonograph records, CDs and all, the arts played an extremely important role in the propagandizing and indoctrination of the population. All successful propaganda employs the arts as a means of disseminating information. So that would be theater, that would be music, that would be literature, fiction and nonfiction, because it creates it gives people information about what's right and wrong, how people should behave in society. Going back to the time of when there wasn't even electricity, where in tribal society people would sit around a campfire, and information would be passed on in the form of storytelling. It's the oldest means of passing on information to society. There's not much difference between primitive man sitting fixated in front of the flickering light of a campfire and modern man sitting fixated in front of the flickering light of a television, receiving information about how society works and what's right and wrong. So it's it's a very effective way of indoctrinating people. And when you consider that television is the most powerful and potent weapon of psychological warfare in history, it should give people pause to think. And let me give you an example of why I make a statement like that. Television is an excellent example to describe both the principles of hypnotic programming and the techniques that are used. The first order of business for an advertiser or a propagandist is to create the circumstances that will induce a state of mind in whoever in their audience that will be favorable to the dissemination of their message. The whole point is to build into people a conditioned response where they will respond in a particular way to a product or to an idea, respond without thinking about it. The first order of business is to create that mindset. That mindset happens to be the hypnotic state of mind, where there's no conscious thinking going on. The mind is a blank slate, and hypnotic techniques are employed to induce that state. A hypnotist will use his voice and a sing-song kind of pattern of speaking to get the listener to lock on to the sound, and in so doing, it clears the mind of all thought. The principle involved is to occupy one of the five senses. In the case of a hypnotist, he's using his voice, the sense of the hearing. In media, you have both sound and you have the image, visual image. Any repeating pattern induces a trance state. So the hypnotist will use a pattern speaking, and which a newscaster uses, very similar. And then in television, you have different techniques that are used in commercials, flashing words, flashing numbers like prices flashing on and off. It's meant to capture your attention, to get your eye to focus on the repetitive pattern to clear the mind of all thought. And then the message comes. So when you're receiving information and you have an opportunity to think about it, you can make the decision whether or not you're going to accept it as being true. And when you do that, it gets filed away in the memory banks of your subconscious with that identification. If you don't have the opportunity to think about it, when your mind is in that blank state, a hypnotic state, then someone else can put a category, label that piece of information, and then call it up at a later date, and then we respond automatically without thinking. It's like, give an example, did you ever buy something and then later wonder, well, why did I buy that?
Mm-hmm.
I think many of us have had that experience. So even the experience of saying or doing something and then wondering, well, why did I say that? Why did I do that? It's because this mechanism is being activated.
It's
now, with television, it doesn't matter what you're watching. The very nature of the medium, it induces a trance state. If you think back to whenever you have observed young children or older adults sitting in front of a TV, they have this glassy-eyed, vacant look in their eyes, and that is because they are in a trance state. The television picture, although it appears to be stationary, it is actually flickering. And although you don't see it consciously, subconsciously, that flickering pattern induces the trance state. So it doesn't matter what you're watching, whether it be news, a sitcom, or a so-called reality programming, it doesn't matter, because the TV, that's what makes TV the ideal mechanism for disseminating propaganda, because it puts people into that state where they are the most receptive to mental programming, more highly suggestible than at any other time. So that's what makes...
You know, Stephen,
yes.
Film does that too. And,
oh, it certainly does, yes.
And one thing about it that I've noticed is, in Hollywood, there's more and more movies coming out with satanic symbolism prevalent all throughout the movie. I was watching one of the Star Trek movies. I think it's the most recent, Nemesis. And I saw a number of different occultic symbols in that movie hidden in various places. One of them I didn't even pick up. There was a long stairway. And at the top of the stairway, when this villain is coming down the stairs, in the background, there's a light shining through there, and the silhouette of this villain coming down the stairs. And in the background, through this window, the pattern of the window, the glass, formed a pentagram.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to look carefully in order to see it, but it was there. And I had just commented to my wife about the satanic symbolism in the movie, and she happened to notice. She says, "Well, there's a pentagram right there." You know, I says, "Doggone it, you're right, you know." And
oh, yes.
They hide these symbols in there for certain reasons, don't they?
Yes, it's conditioning. And again, this is nothing new. This has been going on for years. The use of the number six, number 666 is often used both in movies, TV, and in print advertising. Last week, another prequel to the 1973 motion picture, The Exorcist, was released. The original Exorcist, written by William Peter Blatty, and based on the book that he wrote, used many subliminal techniques, both pictures and sounds, to heighten the emotional impact of the movie. One example is the from the soundtrack. They use the terrified squealing of pigs being slaughtered. Mix that with the sounds of angry bees on the soundtrack. And experiments have shown that certain sounds, even certain words, will induce a physiological response in the audience. And one interesting piece of information about William Peter Blatty, the author of the book and producer of that movie, is that he was a CIA operative who served as the policy branch chief of the Psychological Warfare Division of the U.S. Air Force. Only pointing out this connection between the entertainment industry and government. There has long been this Hollywood, Washington, New York access, because they do work together. The media has become, in effect, a branch of government. Extremely important, noted even during the First World War, where displaying pictures, both the still pictures and the motion picture, as a means of propagandizing the population.
Stephen, are you at all familiar with the Terri Schiavo case?
No, I'm not.
This is a woman in Florida who's been paralyzed for many, many years. Well, I say paralyzed. See, now I'm making a mistake. She's had brain damage. She collapsed due to suspicious circumstances in her home and was taken in to the hospital. Certain bone scan doctors who performed bone scans have said that the possibility of strangulation, that she was strangled, exists. But her husband has been trying for years to get them to cut off her feeding tube. She's gone a long time with just getting her nutrients through a tube, and he's been fighting for years in the courts and the family on the other side fighting against him to keep the nutrients flowing. He's trying to basically end her life with by starvation, and it's been stated over and over again by him and his side that starvation, death by starvation and dehydration, is not painful. And but the thing that strikes me about the whole case is that this woman, they parade her on TV in the news media. They show pictures of her with her eyes open, and she's looking around, and she's responding to her parents' concern and love. And in one of the videos, and this is all posted on the family's website, terrisfight.org, but in one of the videos, it shows her eyes following this balloon that a family member was moving around up, toward the, it was one of those helium balloons, and she's following it with her eyes. But they put a picture of her on the local newscast, and I've got this a capture of this screen in the Terri's section of sweetliberty.org. It shows her looking around, being alert, and underneath it says coma. We've been told repeatedly that this woman is comatose, that she's in a coma state. And or a permanent vegetative state. So these word games go over and over again, as the conditioning of the population to believe that coma means that you can actually be alert and be in a coma. You know, when in fact all she has is brain damage, and but she's been denied therapy by her legal guardian, which is her husband. So. It's not hard to see that this thing, in Orwell's book, as you'll recall, the definitions of words were changed, where war means peace, freedom is slavery,
mm-hmm.
ignorance is strength. Over and over again, we're seeing that in today's media as well.
Oh, yes, that's a key item of psychological warfare, is to confuse the meaning of words and infiltrate the mind with conflicting concepts. Politicians are very adept at this. There's one example I remember from years ago. I think it was even 1984 when, in the course of doing some research, I came across this. It was a newspaper article in the local paper. It was a press release from the State Department saying that no longer would the State Department use the word killing in its documents. They would change the word killing to unlawful or arbitrary deprivation of life. That's not only there are many clear examples that occurred during the Vietnam era when attack was defined as an incursion, or when statements from the government were shown to be lies, president's press secretary would say, "Well, that information is no longer operable." So it's a way of hiding truth and covering up when they get caught in something to to play this game of changing the meaning of words, and advertising does it. Not only changing the meanings of words, but changing the spelling of words. This happens a lot in popular music, in titles. It's the adulteration of the language to eventually make it very difficult for people to communicate with one another. And I think that we all have experience of speaking the same language, but having very great difficulty communicating with one another.
Right. You know, and there's other things other than just words. I go back to 1984 because there's so many things were in that book that are applicable for today's times. But they talk about the price of chocolate. You know, in Orwell's book, they said, I think it was chocolate, they said the price of chocolate has gone down, when in fact, you know, it's going up, you know. And everyone knows that, you know. And so many examples of the population today. See, I work in the media, so it's a little difficult for me. As I feel like Winston Smith sometimes, you know, pushing things down the memory hole. Because as a part of my job, I have to be involved with the production of live newscasts every day, and I sit there, and I used to, before I got involved in this, and I often state this as well, that I used to think that the media was biased, but I thought that, you know, most of what they said had the basis in truth. But since I've gotten involved in this movement, and I've started to find out what's really going on in the world, you know, the vast majority of everything they say, it's all lies. And it just blows me away that everything is based on lies.
Yes, deception has become an integral part of the framework of our society across the board on all levels. I used to work in the media myself. I had studied at Boston University and worked in the film industry for about 13 years. Primarily as a film editor, and working as a film editor, it was very easy to see how plastic and moldable reality is, at least film reality. It's so easy to change the meaning of what someone says or change the meaning of an event through the simple process of editing. But I didn't, even though I was working in media, I didn't fully appreciate the extent to which we are all manipulated by the media, including the people who work in the media. And it wasn't until I was given the results of private research investigating hypnosis that I began to see the implications, and it eventually led to my leaving New York City, where I was working at the time. Eventually left the career I was pursuing to investigate this whole issue of mind control and mental manipulation, and that led to the production of the audio cassettes of Mind Control in America and Wake Up America. So, yes, the news is not the news. Once you make an edit, once one cut, you are molding reality, so to speak. And that's one of that's a major problem for us in our society, is that we live in a virtual reality, in a totally controlled and manipulated media environment.
Okay, hold that thought, Stephen. We got to take a break here. Folks, you're listening to American Exposé. I'm Darren Weeks, and my guest is Stephen Jacobson. His website, mindcontrolinamerica.com. We'll be back on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
They tell us our clothes and our cars. They tell us everything from youth to religion. At the same time, they sell us our war. I want to know who the men in the shadows are. I want to hear somebody asking them why. They can be counted on to tell us who our enemies are, but they're never the ones to fight or to die. And there are lies in the balance.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
This program on FirstAmendmentRadio.com is much more than entertainment. It is more like an information-packed audio magazine delivered direct to you. Like any magazine, if you don't want to keep getting it, simply unsubscribe by not listening. But you are listening, so now go to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and follow the instructions there to make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program. Not only should you subscribe for yourself, but you should get an extra to help us spread the message of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Don't do Internet? You can also write us. First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare Avenue, that's T-U-L-A-R-E Avenue, in Tulare, California, 93274. 139 East Tulare Avenue, that's T-U-L-A-R-E Avenue, in Tulare, California, T-U-L-A-R-E, California, 93274. Thank you.
This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. Are you a believer that is looking for a way to understand Bible prophecy as it pertains to historic as well as current events? Do you believe a one-world government is predicted in the Bible to occur in our day? Do you want to know what the Bible says about the Vatican's role in all of this? Are you one that believes no prophecy of the Bible is of any personal interpretation, as 2 Peter 1:20 declares? And are you also one that understands all the symbols in prophecy are defined accurately in all the books of the Bible? If so, then you are one that would be blessed by the Truth Provided broadcast. Please join us on Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern Time for an adventure in Bible prophecy. See the prophecies of old come to light in today's current events as well as historic events in our not-so-distant past. You will find information in this broadcast that will benefit you and your family like never before. So please stop by Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on FirstAmendmentRadio.com for the Truth Provided broadcast. For more information, stop by our website at www.remnantofgod.org.
If you can hear my voice, you are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. If you would like to continue hearing these programs, there are several ways that you can help. One, you can make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program by going to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and follow the instructions there. Two, you can sponsor your favorite program with your business advertising dollars or spend your dollars with those businesses that advertise on your favorite programs. Three, simply call in on live programs and tell them that you are listening on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Now anyone can do that one. You can find the call-in numbers on our schedule pages at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. And finally, you can call 559-733-5002 and leave your name and address, and we will send you a support pack. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to American Exposé, the website, AmericanExposé.com, www.AmericanExposé.com, American spelled with a K and not a C. There's plenty of research in there, folks, about the environmental movement, Agenda 21, sustainable development, all of those really rotten things that fit into the globalist plan to enslave you and all future generations, and another plan, the way that they are going to execute that, or the way they are executing it, is by manipulating your mind into accepting it, conditioning people into accepting it. You know, one thing, Stephen, my guest, by the way, Stephen Jacobson of Mind Control in America, his website, mindcontrolinamerica.com, go there and check out his audio documentary cassettes. One thing that I see as I read these United Nations documents is how good they make everything sound, you know. You know, sustainable development. How can you argue with, I mean, who wants to fight against sustainable development? You know, do you want to be unsustainable? You know, do you want everyone to die off? You know, they give us these terms. Scenic byways is another one. You know, who does not want your highway, your roads to have a nice view, you know? Yet they're using this to be able to control the property of people and the adjacent areas who along the roadways, you know, the they play these manipulation games all the time. And Benjamin Kidd, an English socialist who died in 1916, wrote, "Oh, you blind leaders who seek to convert the world by labor disputations, step out of the way or the world must fling you aside." It says, give us the young, and we will create a new mind and a new earth in a single generation. The education realm, the public schools, and even the private schools are very important to this, isn't it?
Oh, yes. That's why the both the mass media and public education are so important in indoctrinating that young minds to accept the globalist plans, so that the children of the leaders of the New World Order can continue to rule over your children, everyone's children. And since their numbers are few in comparison to the entire population, the only way they can pull this off is through illusion and deception. In fact, the Sun Tzu in the Art of War categorically states that all warfare is based on deception. And this was written more than 2,500 years ago. It said that Napoleon considered this book responsible for his military successes. It's been studied in military sciences in the Soviet Union, in the former Soviet Union. It wasn't translated into English until 1905. But Sun Tzu also goes on to say that supreme excellence consists in breaking the enemy's resistance without fighting. In other words, inducing stress, anxiety, fear, and terror in a population is a strategy of psychological warfare. Because people, their thinking and their behavior can be changed when they are subjected to intense and prolonged stress. Back in 1957, there was a book that came out titled Battle for the Mind by British psychiatrist Dr. William Soggins. And he wrote that in states of human fear and excitement, the most wildly improbable suggestions can be accepted by apparently sensible people. And I think we're at that point. We're beyond that point.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, we're told that communism is dead in the Soviet Union. We're told that the Soviet Union is now the former Soviet Union, as if the threat of communism is no longer a reality. And yet you have Mikhail Gorbachev running around, you know, promoting the United Nations agenda. I remember after the wall, the Berlin Wall came down, Time magazine actually named Mikhail Gorbachev Man of the Decade. You know, the threat of communism in the Soviet Union is another lie that they're promoting. And meanwhile, communist China, the threat that they have become, is completely being ignored by the mainstream media. As a matter of fact, whenever they say China, they don't even associate it with communism.
No, not anymore. They haven't. Yeah, that's right. Absolutely right. Well, you look at who funded and promoted the Bolshevik Revolution that led to Russia becoming communist. It was wealthy bankers in the West, wealthy families who funded it.
Mm-hmm. The same people who are in charge of our Federal Reserve System.
That's right.
And there's another play on words.
That is correct, and that's an extremely important and telling example. The use of the word federal and the name Federal Reserve implies in the mind of the public that the Federal Reserve is part of the U.S. government, and it's no more part of the U.S. government than Federal Laundry or Federal Express. It's a private corporation that is owned and operated by foreign and domestic banks, but more importantly, it's a private concern that's operated for profit. But by using the word intentionally, it was meant to deceive the population.
Right. Absolutely. Folks, if anybody out there wants to call in and ask Stephen a question, I see time is really going by quickly. 1-800-858-6582 is the call-in number. 800-858-6582. I did not talk to Nicholas right before the broadcast, but I assume the 800 number is still open. He's still able to, we're still able to take calls there. You know, I got this news article in front of me here, Stephen, that from the Guardian out of the UK, and it says 50,000 children taking antidepressants. It says drug withdrawn over fears it made youngsters want to kill themselves. New questions for pharmaceutical firms. There's 50,000 people, according to the Guardian, 50,000 children taking antidepressants. We know for a fact that all kinds of various drugs are being given to our children in the public schools, and I don't know, maybe even the private schools as well. I'm somewhat out of touch because I don't send my children to school, and this is a big part of the reason, by the way. But what are the ramifications going to be when all these children grow up and become adult drug addicts? You know, we don't know what these various drugs that they, these laboratories cook up, what they do to people, and what are they doing to these people's minds?
Well, we do know from the evidence that's already available that these things are harmful, even harmful for adults, and we're very, as a society, we're very schizophrenic where drugs are concerned. On the one hand, we have the so-called war on drugs that are not controlled and manufactured by the pharmaceutical companies. On the other hand, the idea is promoted that it's safe and effective to take drugs that that are prescribed by the medical professions, and that it's conditioning to do what is done in George Orwell's not-so-fictitious 1984. What occurred in Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, the administering of drugs whenever if you're feeling unhappy, well, you take your Soma pill. And we're being conditioned to look outside of ourselves. Hello?
Yes, I'm still here.
Yeah, look outside of ourselves for help in making sense of what's going on in our lives.
What do you recommend? Do you recommend that people throw their TV sets completely out?
That wouldn't hurt. But you've got to be practical. Most people look at television as a member of the family. They're comfortable with it. The TV is in more than one room in the house. Everyone has their own TV. Especially young people, children watch an inordinate amount of television. That's where a lot of people get their information. That's where many people get their entertainment. After a hard day's work, people come home, plop themselves down on the sofa, turn on the TV, and the mind goes on hold. And that's where the problem is, because they become receptive to the programming that builds a conditioned response in them, so that they even lose control over their own thinking and are not as independent as they'd like to think. Certainly, a first step is to understand the nature of the problem, and thereby be able to recognize some of these techniques when they're being employed. Such as in television, the use of repetitive patterns in both commercials and even in your news broadcasting, the use of graphics, repeating patterns of graphics that are meant to put you in that state. If you recognize it, you can pull yourself away from it, but this is a physiological response. The television is literally plugging into our nervous system. And the best course of action would be to keep television viewing at an absolute absolute minimum. That's one help. The reason for my doing the audio cassette series, the Mind Control in America and Wake Up America, plus the one I'm currently working on, is to give people information and a tool to share with other people that explains these things, the principles involved, the techniques and examples for people to hear, so that they become familiar with the techniques, so that they can recognize them whenever they are confronted with it. That's a first step. Education is always a first step.
Yes, it's a very important step, because, as I think you've already said, if you recognize the techniques, then you're able to spot them. And just like I was saying at the top of the broadcast, you're able to so kind of think outside the box, so to speak, the parameters of their dialectic. You know, we have the Hegelian dialectic going on today, where they create the problem, they anticipate the reaction to the problem that they create, and then they're already, when the population is angry and worked up and into a hysterical frenzy, to then present their predetermined solution. And Julius Caesar is quoted, and we have this quote in the war section of sweetliberty.org, but it says, "Beware the leader who bangs the drums of war in order to whip the citizenry into a patriotic fervor, for patriotism is indeed a double-edged sword. It both emboldens the blood just as it narrows the mind, and when the drums of war have reached a fever pitch and the blood boils with hate, and the mind has closed, the leader will have no need in seizing the rights of the citizenry. Rather, the citizenry, infused with fear and blinded by patriotism, will offer up all of their rights unto the leader, and gladly so. How do I know that? For this is what I have done, and I am Caesar." I have articles, incidentally, on this website about how it's a speech, an account about a speech that was given by Tony Blair shortly after September 11th, and he says, "This is a moment to seize. The kaleidoscope has been shaken. The pieces are in flux. Soon they will settle again. Before they do, let us reorder this world around us and use modern science to provide prosperity for all." In other words, they created the whole September 11th scenario in order to shake the kaleidoscope, in order to get the pieces in flux. And once that happens, he says, we have a limited opportunity to grasp this thing and use this opportunity that we've created to enact the change, because people are angry, but at time heals all wounds, and people will move on. Let's get them while they're angry. Let's strike while the iron is hot. You see? And it's just amazing what they've been able to do by accomplishing utilizing this technique.
Well, it's an as you know, it's an ancient technique of dividing the population and pitting groups against groups, keeping people off balance. It's like we've been placed in a vice where scientific principles are being used to induce a nervous breakdown in the country. On one hand, we have the pressures that are put on people as a result of the dishonest monetary system that has people working harder today just to try to make ends meet, to try to make a living, than they had to 15, 20, 25 years ago. Not only do you have the financial pressures on people, but then the pressure that is created through the media, through the manipulation of people's mental states, and the manipulating people through information. So it's like you're in a double bind, and when people are uptight and anxious, they don't look at life and the world with clarity. You have to be at peace in yourself and calm to see things as they are. We don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. And so if we're all uptight, we're not. It's going to impact on how we view the world and how we view the solutions to our problems. And yes, the Hegelian dialectic is employed as a means of crisis management by our rulers. They use the so-called war on terror, as you mentioned earlier, is really a war against freedom. It's a war against the population to keep them off balance and tense. There's something very interesting that was written back in 1935, a little book titled War is a Racket by Marine Major General Smedley Butler. He was a two-time recipient of the Congressional Medal of Honor, and he says, war is a racket. A racket is best described, I believe, as something that is not what it seems to the majority of people. Only a small inside group knows what it is about. It is conducted for the benefit of the very few, at the expense of the very many. Well, this is back in 1935. It's a statement that is as applicable today as it was then.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, you know, you listen to the round of these various talk shows, the Sean Hannitys, the Rush Limbaughs, and, you know, a myriad of others, and over and over again you hear about the Republicans versus the Democrats. You know, the Republicans are so good, the Democrats are so bad, you know. And the Democrats are bad. I'm not saying they're not, but so are the Republicans. You have an administration in power right now that is spending money like there's no tomorrow. I mean, billions and billions and billions of dollars. I just came across another article just the other day, just this past week, in which they said that they're going to raise the debt limit, the limit on the national debt, to $8 trillion. And my question is, why even bother having a limit if you're not going to adhere to it?
Well, see, that's to hide the deception of the whole system and the fraudulent nature of it. Well, one thing is they don't spend anything. They don't spend money. Congress doesn't spend anything. They get everything for nothing, just like the banking establishment. They get everything for nothing because of the sweetheart deal between the government and the banking establishment. It's everybody else who is paying for it through the productivity of their labor. The way the system is set up, it's stealing the labor, that our labor, and they don't need us as far as so-called tax money is concerned. There's no such thing as tax money. The only way we can have control over our government is when they are dependent on receiving something from us to pay their bills. Well, when gold and silver coin were being used as the standard medium of exchange, you could say that was true. If you didn't like what the government was doing, you could withhold payment until your grievances were addressed. They don't need us to pay for anything. It's just they have to keep this illusion going so that we don't figure out the fraudulent basis of the whole system. And when the money system is corrupt, everything else in society gets corrupted. Everything, including organized religion. Because what's going on is fundamentally a spiritual problem.
That's absolutely right.
We're very material minded. Everything is directed towards gratification of the physical body. Well, we're not the body. We're the resident inside the body. We're spirit. We're not physical. But people have been conditioned to think in terms of their being physical entities and making the decisions based on that, so that the measure of success becomes how adept you are at acquiring comforts and pleasures associated with the physical body. It's the direct opposite of what people need to be doing to fulfill the purpose of our being here, and that is to extricate ourselves from this entanglement and this material consciousness that gets us focusing on this fundamental problem. The fundamental problem, the root cause of all of our problems, is our identification with the physical body and saying that that's me. The physical body is me, and so I have to make all my decisions based on that. That's because our leaders think in this way, They're having us thinking this way intentionally to keep us from developing a spiritual consciousness and growing spiritually. So they're trying to hold the whole population down. You have to have a ruling class, a governing class, but the responsibility of that class is to administer society for the benefit of everyone, in order to achieve this spiritual goal that is the fundamental goal of life. They're interfering with that. They don't want to do that because they lose their power and control over the population by doing so. They want to play God. They're one of the little gods that want to keep us down because they're afraid of us.
Yep, absolutely. What do you think of this plan of, President Bush coming out with a plan that's supposed to require mandatory mental health screening for every person in the country, child and adult? Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't hear about it, but it doesn't surprise me. All it says is they want to cast aspersions and make negative those ideas and thoughts that would actually be helpful to people, so that those who speak the truth will be branded as mentally deficient. It's not unlike what was done in the Soviet Union with psychiatry. It was used as a weapon against the population, and it will be that same thing is going to be happening here.
Yeah, I can't help but think about Klebold and Harris, and the whole Columbine thing, the imagery that was put on television when they went on their shooting rampage at that school. More and more, I mean, just like with everything else, the idea that guns are bad, guns are evil, and yet we don't even know what kind of drugs those people might have been on, what's your take on that whole situation?
Are we still on?
We're still on. I guess we got to take a break here. You have to run, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, folks, man, that hour flew by really fast. My guest has been Stephen Jacobson. Thanks a lot for being with us, Stephen.
Oh, my pleasure.
The website is mindcontrolinamerica.com. Visit the website and get his tape as soon as they become available on the website. And you got your address there as well, right?
Yes, I do. And credit card ordering isn't set up yet, so... That won't happen until after the Labor Day, so they can order through the mail and the information is on the website.
Okay. Hey, appreciate it again. We'll have you back.
We'll have to do it again sometime, because we've only scratched the surface.
That's right, yeah. God bless you, man.
Thank you. You too. And God bless everyone who's listening. God bless America.
You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but He also gives us the capacity to do evil or usurp the rights of others. Our individual rights end where the rights of another begin. No one has the right to do evil because evil can never be right. Those who would seek to limit your right to speak or hear the truth are the same who seek to subjugate, control, and enslave you. Freedom is not free. Support the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network by going to firstamendmentradio.com on the internet and following the instructions there to support us, or call 559-733-